Thank you very much, Dr. Cocker. Now we are going to have Dr. Corny M. Williams. She is an assistant professor in University of Kentucky Chandler Medical Center, and her research focuses on violence against women and reproductive health. Please welcome Dr. Williams.
So today I'm talking about intimate partner violence and postpartum depression. And I have no disclosures, no financial or otherwise. So just to give a little bit of background on postpartum depression, because Dr. Cocker just gave us a great overview of intimate partner violence, there's a continuum of depressive disorders after delivery ranging from what we sort of refer to as the baby blues to postpartum depression. And what I didn't include on here is there is also a more extreme form of postpartum psychosis. Baby blues is more prevalent. It typically occurs within the first few weeks after delivery. The symptoms are less severe, and it doesn't require treatment. They often go away after time. Postpartum depression, on the other hand, affects about 10 to 15% of new mothers. It can occur up to the first year after giving birth, has more severe symptoms, and it does require treatment by a physician. Some of the risk factors for postpartum depression include a personal or family history of depression or other mental illness, anxiety or negative feelings about the pregnancy, problems with a previous pregnancy or birth, stressful life events, substance use, young age, and poor social support, including marital conflict or poor marital relationship and being a single parent. And the one thing I wanted to point out is if you look at these outcomes or these risk factors, a lot of them are associated with intimate partner violence. And so you could see where women who experience intimate partner violence might be more at risk for developing postpartum depression. And that's the relationship that we wanted to examine. Some of the consequences of postpartum depression, sort of why is it important, not only for the mother's health and her well-being in terms of caring for an infant, but women who experience postpartum depression are more likely to discontinue breastfeeding and are less likely to engage in practices that promote child development, such as playing with their infant. So it has consequences not only for the mother, but for her children and their development all through childhood. For this study, I used the Pregnancy Risk Assessment Monitoring System, or PRAMS, which is an ongoing state-specific population-based surveillance project. This study collects, or the survey collects, self-reported information on maternal attitudes and experiences, and they count go from the 12 months before getting pregnant, during the pregnancy, and then in the few months after delivery of a live infant. It's designed to be representative of women in the participating states who delivered during the preceding 2 to 6 months, so they try to catch them right in that, ideally 2 to 3 months after delivery. These are the PRAM states. The ones in purple are the ones that I've included in this analysis. In PRAMS, intimate partner violence is actually a core section, so all of the states in either purple or blue, which are the PRAM states, ask the intimate partner violence questions. Postpartum depression, however, is an optional module, and so fewer states ask that. So I have included the 17 states that have asked both, have asked the postpartum depression questions. So the survey, I used data from 17 states in 2004-05. The total sample size across all 17 states was just over 53,000 women, almost 54,000 women. And one thing about PRAMS is, in order for the data to be publicly available for analyses, response rates have to be at least 70% in all of the states, so we know we're at or above 70%. I should also mention that it's a mailed survey, and then they follow up with phone calls if women don't complete the mail survey. Given that they're taking care of a new baby, it's often they're needing follow-up. They asked two questions on what we call self-reported postpartum depressive symptoms. Since your new baby was born, how often have you felt down, depressed, or hopeless? And then since your new baby was born, how often have you had little interest or pleasure in doing things? The responses are always, often, sometimes, rarely, or never. And if women said always or often to either of these questions, they were classified as experiencing postpartum depressive symptoms or having postpartum depressive symptoms. These two items have been recommended as a depression case-finding instrument because they have a high sensitivity of 96%. For intimate partner violence, women were asked if a current or former husband or partner had pushed, hit, slapped, kicked, choked, or otherwise physically hurt them, either in the 12 months before getting pregnant or during their most recent pregnancy. We took women who said yes to either of these questions and coded them as being physically abused. Some of the other covariates that we're interested in are listed on the slide. Age, race, ethnicity, current marital status, education, Medicaid recipient, so forth. We also looked at stressors during pregnancy, thinking of intimate partner violence and stress during pregnancy, particularly partner-related stress, as possibly being related. For statistical analysis, we looked at the proportion of abused and non-abused women who reported postpartum depressive symptoms, and then we used chi-square tests to look for significant differences within each of the 17 states. We used a logistic regression, and Sudan was used to adjust for the complex survey design and produce statewide estimates because it is designed to be representative of each state. So these are just some basic demographics. We see that just under 10% were less than 20 years old, and the majority were white, non-Hispanic, at 64%. Just about 65% were married, and then education is, most of them had at least a high school education or more than a high school education, and just about 44% had Medicaid, got Medicaid to pay for their delivery. 6.4% of women reported physical abuse either before or during their pregnancy, and just about 15% experienced postpartum depressive symptoms, I guess I should say, which lines up with what we would expect given national literature. This graph has the 17 states along the x-axis, and it shows the prevalence of postpartum depressive symptoms. The yellow bars are among non-abused women, and the blue bars show the prevalence of postpartum depressive symptoms among abused women. So we see that in all 17 states, there's a significant difference, and women who experienced physical abuse were much more likely to report depressive symptoms, all the way up to over 50% in South Carolina. To look at associations across the states, what we did was we looked at the median difference in the proportion reporting depressive symptoms by each of our risk factors and demographic characteristics. The second column is the number of states where there was a significant association, and then the median difference is presented in the column on the far right. And I want to draw your attention to is not only was physical abuse associated in all 17 states, it had the largest median difference. So the difference in the proportion was 22.4%. I conducted a logistic regression, and this is where I get into. This combines all 17 states. We see that physical abuse is associated with intimate partner violence, although I did want to point out that also partner-related stress is highly significant, with more than twice as likely to report postpartum depression. This I thought was interesting because there could be women who don't say yes to the physical abuse question but are experiencing other forms. This includes, have you been arguing with your partner more, getting at more of the marital conflict, which is likely associated. So we saw the prevalence of self-reported postpartum depressive symptoms range from about 11% to up to 20%. However, among abused women, it ranged from 30% to over 50% in South Carolina. Physical abuse before or during pregnancy was associated with postpartum depressive symptoms in all 17 states, and of the 14 characteristics that we looked at, physical abuse was the strongest and most consistent predictor of postpartum depressive symptoms. The American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology recommends screening for partner violence as a part of routine psychosocial screening for pregnant women. And this could be used to identify women at risk of PPD and allow you to provide services before and after delivery to hopefully prevent or at least catch them earlier in the development of postpartum depression. There are some limitations to this. The data are based on self-report and are not confirmed by physician diagnosis, which is one of the big issues we have with some of this work. The screening questions used in the survey do have a low specificity of just about 66%, so we may be overestimating the postpartum depression prevalence. It's also possible that there's misclassification. Because the duration of time about which symptoms are reported range from 2 to 6 months, it's possible that some of those women who were interviewed at 2 months would have gone on to develop postpartum depression, or that women at 6 months may, there might be other things going on once you start getting further out from delivery. We also had no information on pre-existing depression, so we're not sure if this is new postpartum depression or if it's depressive symptoms that were occurring prior to the pregnancy that are just continuing to manifest themselves. So intimate partner violence is associated with postpartum depression. Targeted screening and interventions for postpartum depression should be directed at women at high risk, particularly those experiencing intimate partner violence. And we should incorporate postpartum depression messages into existing public health programs. I want to acknowledge my co-workers, Kate Brett and Wanda Barfield, at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and the entire PRAMS team and PRAMS working group, which consists of coordinators from all 17 states who actually do this work. Thank you.
For time. Thanks. Thank you so much. Okay. I'd like to make some announcement about this session is sponsored by Women's Caucus, and those who are already members of Women's Caucus, that's great. That's why we're here. But the new ones, you are welcome to sign up. And the booth number is 2526. And I'm passing around the sign-up sheet. You can just give, if you give your email address, we can send you the form, membership form. And now we are going to another thing that we are having our presentations, and we are holding the discussions to have later on. So please, if you have any questions, burning questions, you can raise your hand, or please put it down so that we can have a very good interactive discussion. Now I'd like to welcome Dr. Amy Bonomi, and she is an associate professor in the Human Development and Family Science Department at The Ohio State University. Her research focuses on risk factors and long-term consequences of family violence for adults and children. She is currently conducting a study that examines the relationship between romantic attachment styles, alcohol use, and conflict resolution styles with couples. And she's going to have two back-to-back presentations. Please do welcome her.